Will the freaks really inherit the Earth? I'm Chris Story on Top of the World in Homer, Alaska. I'm on top of the world. Yeah, let's see. Any minute now, Chris Brogan will be calling in. He's the author of the book, Freaks Shall Inherit the Earth. We'll find out, are they going to, and who are the freaks of the world? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about television shows and growing up in the 70s and the meaning of life. Yep, we're going to cover both ends of the swimming pool, deep and shallow alike. Oh, here he is now. This is Chris.
How the heck are you?
Did you watch Stranger Things on Netflix? Did you see that series?
Oh, I did. I thought it was swell.
It was, to me, you and I both grew up in the 70s and 80s, kind of straddling those
era. Is correct.
And oh my God, that was 1980 something in a bottle, Chris, was it not?
Yes, absolutely. Tell me you didn't think of E.T. about 300 times during that movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in my own childhood, I didn't never have an opportunity to play Dungeons & Dragons, but I knew people who did, but everything else about that was so relevant to my own life as a kid. And to me, I saw it in my Netflix queue yesterday, and I thought, I'll bet if I'm correct, Chris Brogan watched it, and once again, I was correct.
Spot on, Chris Story. Yeah, I played D&D in 1983, and that was exactly, that's when I started. And I can tell you that, that element of it, I mean, just everything was just really a song. And I was even impressed with, Winona Ryder. I hadn't, the whole cast, but I just really thought that everyone did such a great job of making me feel like I was in that time zone.
So you and I did grow up in the 70s and 80s. And do you think, Chris, and maybe I'm wrong, all wet on this, I don't know, but I feel like it gives a little bit of a unique advantage. And in one hand, you have one foot in the digital age and one foot in the analog. You can go outside and play till dark age. Do you think that gives an advantage in your work, what you're currently doing today?
It's a really good question. Absolutely. Doubly so because my parents were both DJs when they met. So I have, background in what it was like to be a radio DJ. And these were like working class DJs. They were not fancy or famous or anything like that, but they were radio people holding down, a media channel before they went off and got grown-up jobs. So I can tell you that, a lot of that work was definitely, informative. I mean, the kinds of people I was around, the way that I understood how you could reach a lot of people, there was a lot of, if nothing else, just sort of an aspirational feeling of, I totally want to be part of this. But yeah, I think having access to analog, growing up with tape decks and making your own mixes of music and stuff like that was really instructive of where we ended up now.
Yeah. I used to love to go through the magazines and catalogs and look for the tallest stack I thought my summer money could afford of a stereo with the most lights and the little LED lights and stuff that I didn't know exactly what the equalizer would do, but I wanted the best and the biggest I could get. So let me ask you, Chris Brogan, are you living on purpose? Do you think you've got a life of purpose?
Oh, I would say that is a yes. I would say that, I define my own personal success as being able to say no to the things that I want to say no to. And I think that that's a pretty good way to keep yourself in a direction.
On your podcast, Owner's Mind, I absolutely love your podcast. And if you haven't subscribed to Chris's podcast, do it. You teach people to earn the right to sell and serve. What does that mean?
Well, I find that a lot of the models of people teaching me how to sell when I was, trying to figure this all out, teaching me business, had this very different kind of almost adversarial mindset to selling in business. Which is like, push them until they buy, beat them until they say no or yes, but, just keep hitting them until they do something. And that was, for instance, internet marketing in the late 90s. And I was not having that. It just didn't make sense to the way things went. And being a media kind of person and being a blogger from way back in 1998, I was of the mindset that if I really, attracted attention, kept people interested, gave them things that they could do, that they might say, I should spend some of my time and maybe my money with this guy, Chris. And so I built everything around that belief. And in the process, that's how I've taught other people how to sell. And it's people sometimes say to me, it's really weird. You work with really big companies and you work with solo companies. How does that work? And I said, I tell them all the same stuff. I would tell the people who run Coke when I was there the same stuff that I would tell a guy who just started a lawn care company. Because it all relates. People want to be treated well, be helpful, give people a sense of that they can reach you, that they can partner with you. It all matches no matter what we're doing.
When did you wake up? I mean, in other words, because you remind me of somebody who is like wide awake, and I don't know the Matrix well enough to quote it, but it just remind me of the kind of guy that's running around the world, the country, through the internet. You're running around the world, waking other people up, and you want to help people wake up. So, going back to your life of purpose and your life of living on purpose, when did you decide that you wanted to be able to say no? When, do you remember a specific day? Was there a transition point?
Well, you know, when I have a question like this, Chris, I usually like to say that it always happens in multitudes. Like, there's usually an abundance of experiences that line up, and you go, oh, now I can see the through line on this. I can see where these all line up to a theme inside me. So there's probably not just one day, but I can tell you that long, long time ago, I had this realization that maybe I could do more with my life than just be an employee, or at least be the best darn employee I could be. So that was one wake-up point. Another time, I had this realization that, you know, I really could carve out whatever kind of world I want to create for myself as long as I'm helping other people. That Zig Ziglar line, you know, if you help enough people get what they need, you can have what you want. Another time that woke me up was the realization that, you know, a lot of what we say and do in business, people tend to overcomplicate, but a lot of business and life is simple but not easy. And so I wanted to just find ways to help people get through that and help people find better ways to understand that, because I think that there's a lot of people who make their money trying to complicate things. Another time where I felt like I woke up was just really connecting with not having to worry about pleasing other people, not caring about words like disappointment and all that, and untangling from other people's expectations and their praise. And so, I don't know, I think all of those things contribute to it, so I can't put a finger on just one.
Oh, that's a great answer, though. I really like that. What do you mean disappointment, untangling yourself from that? That's pretty powerful. What does that mean?
Well, and so it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of forces that drive us that are not anything to do with us. Right? Like, we worry that our mom and dad aren't going to be happy, or we worry that the person who, you know, we've chosen to spend our life with isn't going to be happy. We worry that our kids aren't going to like us, that someone's going to think we're not smart enough. We connect a lot of our efforts and our actions and energies to our feelings of other people's perception, meaning we never really know what someone else thinks about us. Sometimes we'll read something the wrong way. We'll misunderstand it. Someone had a bad day, so you show them your really best idea, and they had a bad day, so they go, huh, you know, that's not that interesting. And you think, oh, I'm not that interesting. And it was just a matter of like a matchup. So untangling from other people's opinions, good or bad, is super important. When we look at praise or criticism and we accept it, we made a mistake, because neither one is especially helpful to us. Praise makes us try to take actions to match or mimic or get another repeat of that feeling. And that means we're trying to take an action that doesn't match to us, and or we might be getting praised for the wrong things. And then criticism, of course. A lot of people are wrong. A lot of people are really fast and easy at being a critic, but they're not necessarily right, or they don't understand the intentions of what we're doing. And so you can't really value that criticism.
You wrote the book, The Freaks Shall Inherit the Earth. Excellent book, by the way. You got to get it. It's so good. It really is. Who, Chris Brogan, are the freaks of the earth?
Oh, thank you. The freaks are the people who have chosen to own their life, own their choices, own their future. They're the people who have decided that they don't necessarily want to fit in, and they don't want to be, you know, they want to not stand out either. They just want to take their own path to where they're going. And so freaks are people who maybe aren't, when I say that word freaks, a lot of people go right to like nose piercings and multiple tattoos, you know, and some people are that. But, you know, the people who have identified are guys like Mitch Jackson, who's California's leading trial attorney. There's a pair of accountants that are really into this book. There's a lot of people who you would not look at them and say, that's a freak, and they totally are. And it's because they chose their own path. They chose what they want to be into, and they chose how they're going to serve the people they want to serve. And they decided to, you know, embrace when failure happens, and they decided to, you know, really take their life and their choices, not just accept what was on the plate. And I think that that's who I most like to speak to when it comes to business and life. Even if, you know, you're still an employee somewhere, that's not who I'm not singling anybody out. But just if you're taking your own path to how you're going to get to where you're going.
So many employees, you mentioned employees, so many employees. I mean, look at the Gallup polls and the world disengagement. I mean, literally worldwide, employees have never been so, quote, disengaged from their work. And I think that maybe more than anyone else, the employees that are disengaged at work need to read The Freak Shall Inherit the Earth and find their inner freak, if that's even a term.
Truly. Well, you know, one of the interesting things about that word engagement is that we use it a lot in media making, and we use it to mean we want someone to like what we have created and go, oh, I feel an affinity. Let's connect with these people. What engagement means in the business world, like the business at large, is my employees doing what I ask them to do, period. Have a nice day. And the world at large, as far as business goes, has changed really dramatically over the last bunch of years. I would say from, late 1990s, early 2000s forward, what's gone away is any kind of company loyalty, not either direction. You know, my mom worked 29 3/4 years for the phone company, and they pushed her out right before she would have been due her full pension. She just got a partial pension. You know, there's nothing but a bad business reason for that. You know what I mean? There's zero humanity in that process. And they can just say, well, that's just business, you know, but that's how they rewarded 29 3/4 years. And I see that over and over and over again. And then companies are like, well, I don't understand why people aren't engaged. And yet, you know, in the pursuit of market value, in pursuit of just pure number value in open or publicly traded companies, that becomes a challenge. And so I think it's a really great opportunity in life to find ways to help people engage. And I also believe there's a lot of people who are writing and talking about this right now, that we're heading towards this time where a company's philanthropic record is going to be just as important as everything else. Their social proof, their social sharing, it's all going to be just as important as their bottom line, at least to who's spending their money where. And I think that that will finally get us closer to something that we'd all agree is a more positive, more personable way of doing business.
In August, you published Find Your Writing Voice. And I, as I think about that, I'm going to get it. I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to get it. And writing, working, living, finding your voice almost seems, Chris, to be synonymous with to don't be afraid to be you. And maybe that even relates back to The Freak Shall Inherit the Earth. Maybe it's one long message.
Yeah, I mean, probably even before that, my first book that I wrote with Julian Smith, Trust Agents, even as far back as that, we were saying there's sort of what we call the Perez Hilton hot mess line. You know, you can be who you want to be, but you do have to tidy it up a little bit. Just like we do a small amount of personal grooming. It's probably okay that you want to live an all-natural life, but you can't smell like you've been in somebody's armpit for a month. Or it's just going to be a little harder to hang out with people. You can make that choice. You just have to live by the consequences of it. So in Find Your Writing Voice, in a lot of the things I do, I try to say that whenever we're trying to stack up against anyone else's ideas or thoughts or appeals or whatever, we're going to fail because we're sort of writing into someone else's game. If we don't make our own game, then you know, we're never going to be able to express the way that we want to talk about something. However, as always, there has to be some sort of connector. There has to be some sort of interface. There has to be some way that what we're doing and how we're expressing and the way we're interacting with people connects with the people that we hope to reach and sell and serve to. But what's unique, what's really fun about this world that we're in right now is we can actually literally find whoever we feel like serving and serve just them. And we can speak directly to them. My 10-year-old son makes this music that not very many people would like, but he's got his little page up on Bandcamp and people can buy his album. He's made over $100 already selling his little album that he created in the bedroom without anyone telling him he can or can't do it. And that's the world I think is around us right now for those of us who choose to find the people we want to serve.
At chrisbrogan.com, you've got a section called Work Like You're on Vacation. So can anyone, is the message there that you can do what you love, or is it maybe, you know, love what you're doing in such a way? What's the message of working like you're on vacation?
Well, it's actually very much more tactical than that. So work like you're on vacation is this really strange notion that when you're on vacation, but you still have to check in with work, you seem to be able to get a lot of work done in a short amount of time. And why is that?
True.
You know, it's so that is, you're on vacation, you know that whoever's on that vacation with you, your loved one, your significant other, whoever, if they catch you messing around on your computer or on your phone when you're supposed to be in vacation mode, you're doomed. So how is it that when that is true, we get so much done for the people that we serve, and then we go back to, you know, vacationing without anyone noticing, but then when we get back to the real world, quote-unquote, we can't do that. Same trick. Like, it takes us all day to do something that took us an hour. So that was a real concept that we put together. And that's how a lot of what we did at Owner started, was this idea that we could help people make their own game and figure out where they're going to go with it all. And that was one of those ways is, you know, if you put success in your way, if you really get intentional about how you're going to make your business work, you can get a lot more done in less time.
Makes perfect sense. I so relate to that. Everybody collectively, we're all nodding our heads right now. I know it. So The Owner's Mind is the name of your podcast, The Owner's Mind, Owner Media. You use the word owner in a way that I think of it, and you tell me, but I think of it as a state of mind. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. An owner can be, and I stole this so much so from Tom Peters. We were talking about Stranger Things. I stole this from Tom Peters from the 1990s. Tom would write these articles like the CEO of your desk or the brand called you and all that. And I was this corporate employee going, oh, I totally am into this. And so the idea is that you can own your life by owning your choices and thus own your future, whether or not you're an employer, whether or not you run a company. And you should think of the word owner as a word of success, because it means that you've assumed responsibility, which can be negative or positive, but that also means that you have your hand on the chance to be successful.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think that it's, as an owner, I am an owner. I'm an entrepreneur, and I have been for 20 some odd years. And I think in terms of, Chris, my biggest fear is that I might have to get a job one day. Do you have any fears? Do you wake up with a fear on your mind?
Just talked to my business partner and colleague, Rob, about that today, Rob Hatch. I said, we were both, you know, our numbers aren't where they need to be this quarter. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? And every now and again, I'll just say to him, let's quit and just get jobs. And we both laugh at that because, of course, we couldn't possibly make the money we need to make at a job. That really overused quote about an entrepreneur, someone who will spend 80 hours so that they can't do 40 or don't have to do 40 or whatever it is totally true. But I think the reason in my case is entrepreneurship to me means the flexibility to choose the methods that I use to serve the people that I want to serve. It's also the risk and the reward part. Right now I'm suffering the risk part in this quarter, but you know, I also get to have the reward part. So I think it goes hand in hand, and we have to choose how we interact with that.
Waking up unemployed every day, gainfully unemployed every day, and choosing your life and either, you know, getting the work done in a certain amount of time, like you're on a vacation, or just waking up and looking outside. And I've listened to your podcast enough to know that you'll take time, Chris, to just, walk down to the coffee shop and just you enjoy life. I mean, you're somebody whom I've admired from a distance, and now we're talking, and I would tell you, you've influenced me in a way that you make me want to enjoy my life and every moment of it, and to become a real conscious and awake owner. And I appreciate that.
Well, I'm grateful. I mean, I just figure that we're all going to die. It sounds so dismal when we say it, but we're all going to die, you know, and we might as well kind of stack our days up the way that we want to see them used, because it's not like, you know, you're eventually going to get there. I'll tell you like a kind of sad story. So my grandmother, my grandfather was a candy salesman, and my grandmother worked in the paper mills for a long time, and then she retired. And what happened was she kept thinking, once he retires, we're going to just start going on all these trips. They'd done trips before, but the lion's share of them were going to come right around when he retired. So he retired from the candy job, did a little bit of work for his son at a grocery store, and then dementia set in, and it came kind of quick. And he suddenly wasn't able to drive. He wasn't especially functional, and his faculties were gone. And so my grandmother never got any of those trips that she wanted, per se. She had all these plans, and she basically had to caretake. She developed cancer. And died not having done any of that stuff. And I guess the way I look at it is we have to live as if we might die pretty soon. And so we should probably stack our days up with important stuff that matters to us. And it doesn't have to be substantial. When people say important that matters, you think, well, that's right. I've got to go to Kilimanjaro. But I'm saying, you know, you got to go sit out on the porch and look at the leaves. Right now, you know, as we're recording this, there's, you know, the foliage is on fire here in New England. So I can tell you that the most important things are rarely, you know, something that matches up these visuals of success that we're all shown, but that we all have to really choose how we're going to spend our hours, because there's only so many of those.
Well said, my friend. Well said. The Owner's Mind with Chris Brogan is a podcast you need to subscribe to on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. ChrisBrogan.com is the website. Chris, where would you want people to go first to learn more about you?
You know, ChrisBrogan.com is fine. I could tell you that probably the best way to start is grab my newsletter. And if you like my newsletter, you'll probably like me. And it's really easy to hit reply and talk to me whenever you want. So if you had a good time listening to Chris and me talk, then we'll make friends.
All right, Chris Brogan. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. I hope you'll share this conversation with a friend or a family member, somebody you care about, somebody you think could use the difference in the world that Chris really is making. Chris Brogan, what a great guy. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Until next time, from Alaska, from on top of the world, I'm Chris Story, reminding you that you were born to live on top. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world.